FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Shortly we'll be finding out how FC United got on in their away match in Lincolnshire against Gainsborough Trinity, but before that it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some midweek action, and FC United made it three straight league wins on Tuesday night with an excellent 1-0 win over Lancaster City, following a brilliant solo goal from Regan Linney.
Plays it forward nicely to Rob Wilson. Great tackle there from Griffiths. He may have hurt himself in the process. Getting up though, now it's with Linney. Linney now in towards the box. Can Linney find a space here for a shot? Linney! Oh, what a goal! What a goal by Regan Linney! He threaded his way. It was through the eye of a needle. And then he just slid it past the keeper for a superb goal. We talked about FC United needing some ingenuity. And that's exactly what we've just seen. 1-0 FC.
That was almost Ricky Veer for Tottenham in the 81 Cup final against City.
Superb.
Terrific. I think that might be one of the best goals we've ever seen at Broadhurst Park.
Probably, in terms of a solo goal.
And I think it was the control, you know, again, we talk about this service, I know we're talking about it a lot, but to make that control, that close control on this service with players around him, a bit of an inquest at the back for Lancaster, but sometimes I think you've got to hold your hand up. And Regan Linney, well, FC put him on a contract a couple of weeks ago, and that was a very, very wise move. FC 1, Lancaster City 0. We played 50 minutes.
FC Live and that 1-0 win over Lancaster City there from Tuesday night. And there was another win for the club on Sunday afternoon as the women's team picked up a vital 3 points away at Alnwick Town. And on Monday afternoon, Ben caught up with women's team manager Tom Fitton to find out the mood in camp following the win.
Well, Tom, a big thank you for joining us and big congratulations, a 4-1 victory up at Alnwick Town on Sunday. How was your afternoon?
It was good, considering pitch carried a bit of water, but the ball ran clean on it, so it suited us really. I think, I don't know how many people have been up there, but more or less in Scotland, and it seems like one of them pitches where if you didn't have a bit of water on it, it'd be have the old playground bounce of 30-40 yards over your head. So the conditions actually suited us and played into our favour really.
And we should say, I mean, I'm going to gloss over this really briefly, Tom, but on Thursday night we did have an away trip to Bradford, unfortunately suffering a defeat there. So how important was this result up at Alnwick, and how impressed were you with the way your team bounced back on Sunday?
Yeah, to be honest, for those that weren't at the Bradford game, first half was probably the best football we've played all season, and we were 2-0 down, which is pretty much the story of our season anyway, isn't it, really? But no, it was vital that not only to bounce back, but to get 3 points. It's been such a period of time now without a win. Before Christmas, we had three big fixtures with Barnsley, Feds and obviously Brighouse in the Cup, and we hadn't got the results we deserved from the performances we had. Then, like you say, Newcastle had been tough. The Stockport game, we thought we'd turned a corner, and then Chesterley Street and Bradford, without playing them, both games deserved 3 points without a shadow of a doubt, and it hasn't come off again. So it was nice to perform and actually get some rewards. Absolutely vital that we bounce back, and and got 3 points on the board.
And one player, not to just make it all about Kirsty Chambers, but it's so good to have her back, isn't it? And you know, showing that cutting edge on Sunday as well with 2 goals.
Yeah, 100%. And I looked on the league stats today, actually, at what Kirsty's stats are, numbers for the season, and she's had 16 appearances and 14 goals. So I think that shows how vital she is in that final third. And that's where we've lacked the most quality, like you say, talking about Bradford and Chesterley Street there. In the numbers world of how many chances we've created, how much possession we've had, it's been an absolute joke to say that we haven't been scoring or we haven't been converting the chances we've had. And I think Kirsty had 3 shots on target yesterday and has converted 2 of them, and we've missed it. So yeah, massive benefit for us having her back, not only as the captain but in front of goal.
And with regards to what that does to the league table now, I mean, I don't think we were in too much danger, but I was looking over my shoulder slightly, even though I'm just looking at a league table, it seems a bit of a weird thing to do. But that opens up a 6-point gap now to the relegation places.
Yeah.
Teams below us have got games in hand, but form is form. You know, teams down the bottom end are down there for a reason, so the chances of them winning those games in hand are not as great as the ones above us in the league table. But we're only 3 points from fifth. So, I mean, yeah. How big are the next few games? We've got Charlie home and away and Durham Sestry home and away as well coming up.
Yeah, I mean, how the fixtures have fallen for the next 4 games, quite strange, aren't they? It's like a bit of a mad Champions League format in the league, playing home away against 2 teams in 4 games. But we don't know much about either of them. Durham is always a different fixture, or going to be a different fixture, depending on what happens with their first team. And then Chorley, we've seen them a few times this season, and we feel like we've got enough to go and beat them. I think at the moment, the way we perform, Ben, and like I say, you're probably at 80, 90% of the games, it depends which FC turn up. We lose games because of ourselves, and we win games because of ourselves. So it's an exciting 4 games off the back of a win. Now we need to stop looking back and you know, talking about the past. And I am aware I've done that in most of this interview today. But no, it was good feeling yesterday. We've got some key players back. Looking at yesterday as well, we had key players still unavailable. So massive turning point, hopefully, and we pick up 4 decent results and performances. Like you say, we could be 4th, 5th, and it was never an issue, the situation we was putting ourselves in.
A quick plug for Charlie on Sunday. Adults, £3. £2 concessions. Men's season ticket holders, £1. Under 18s, £1. And under 5s, free with a paying adult. 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday against Charlie. I mean, the crowds have been decent this season. I mean, how important are they going to be on Sunday, Tom, finally?
Massive. Bars open as well. The biggest thing I'd say about the crowds recently, the numbers have been the same, but there's been an atmosphere, there's been an energy, and the players have definitely thrived under that recently. So 100%, come and get behind us. Like I say, we've got massive 4 games, 2 at home, 2 away. Hopefully we've turned a corner on making dominance in possession count, and that desire to defend is still there.
Women's team manager Tom Fitton there, and we'll have coverage of that crucial Chorley match this Sunday at Broadhurst Park for those of you who cannot make the game, with coverage starting on FC Radio just before 2 p.m. Elsewhere at the club, and FC United have announced the appointment of former Southport and Curzon Ashton chief exec Natalie Atkinson as the club's new chief operating officer, while Neil Reynolds has been appointed as the chief executive officer. And for more on this news, Ben caught up with Neil before kickoff on Saturday.
Neil, congratulations on your new role. Tell us more. What does this role mean to you?
So really proud, you know, really honoured, Ben. You know, cast my mind back to the summer when the club asked me to go full time and be head of football and lead the academy. You know, for one or two reasons, you know, I've ended up probably doing more work than what I wanted to do with staff departures. That's been recognised at board level and at staff level, and just delighted to be given the opportunity as CEO. But what I want to say is that football is my focus. You know, I've got no intention of retiring from the dugout, or no interest of giving up kind of the women's team or the academy team. What it has enabled us to do is bring in Natalie Atkinson as chief operating officer. She will take the majority of the role on a day-to-day basis within the office and line manage staff and allow me to become more involved in the football side and the recruitment side. But, you know, I've always said that I think one person needs to carry the can, and that will be me. When things go wrong, it'll be me. When things go right, it'll be me. You know, that's kind of the thing. But no, it's going to be a team effort. But I just encourage the board to kind of lay that responsibility with me. And I said, you know, I've done it before in terms of my head teacher role, so I'm going to do it again. But, you know, I'll finish by saying we've got a fantastic group of staff in that office, and, you know, trust me, my job wouldn't be able to be complete, or Natalie's, without the dedication of the people that work day to day. So, you know, it's a recognition of me, but it's more recognition for me of them and what they do. And, you know, this is just another step for me in building this club to where it needs to get to.
And just as a mention for Natalie as well, I mean, she did an amazing job at Curzon Ashton, and obviously has worked at a few other clubs as well. That's quite an appointment, isn't it, for the club?
What a coup. You know, you talk about transfer signings, an amazing coup, and we were talking about going out to advert, but, you know, we looked at our documents and noticed that if we had a candidate that we felt was exceptional, that we could meet and interview, and we did that. And Natalie came forward and said she was interested in making FC United her next project. And when you look at her CV and you look at what she's done at Southport, Curzon, even Oldham, you know, and the work that she did with Manchester FA, it's exciting. She's got a finger on the pulse of women's football as well. I couldn't be more excited to be working, you know, side by side to her. And trust me, there'll be no, you know, in terms of hierarchy, you know, Natalie to me is equivalent. She's got probably more experience than what I have, you know, in terms of the CEO role. But I'm going to try and help her embed. And, you know, one day, who knows, if we move to a full-time football role, I can take on that and she can pick up where I am. But at the minute, you know, we welcome her to the club. I think that she's going to be exceptional, and, you know, I'd encourage everyone to be excited about her appointment.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to Ben. And finally for this week's news, on Saturday, FC United travel back to Lincolnshire to take on Gainsborough Trinity. And to set the scene, it's now time to hand over to Ben and Woodso at North Elm.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to SC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And this is the pre-match show with Woodso, and you join us here at North Elm in a turnstile area that's currently
locked,
which is currently locked, and we're on the inside. And with the inside scoop now, is Woodso. We don't know the team yet. We've got hints that we might have a bit of a defensive crisis this afternoon. It's handy, though, I'm going to say this out loud. It's handy we're playing Gainsborough, though, because they've scored the least goals in the league.
They have, but they're not one of the best home records.
There is that as well.
They've lost two all season, I think, here on this. So, yeah, this will be why we've got lots of attacking players, or from different various young kids from various clubs all over. We just attack them, just run at them. Two at the back and run
Isn't that exactly what we did on Tuesday, essentially, against Lancaster? We kind of defended from the front. We just pinned them in.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because looking back at the highlights, I think Lancaster only had one decent chance.
I don't remember having a shot. I don't remember that. I mean, and they played well in a decent game, to be fair. Yeah, I mean, we just got to keep doing our own thing and keep attacking, really, haven't we? You know, I mean, we saw what Galloway is capable of at this level. Albeit, I did say, you know, I think he's trying Premiership passes with Northern Premier League footballers, but that's going to happen, fair enough. But he had a great performance. Linney, obviously, the John Barnes-esque goal against Brazil. And Griffiths had his best game since coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That all bodes very, very well.
But Gainsborough today, in conditions, I mean, we're in this turnstile booth because the conditions outside the turnstile booth are horrendous. It's windy, it's wet, it's the PA music isn't that great.
They've not got the Manchester memory.
No, it's just distressing, isn't it? This is going to be a tough game this afternoon, isn't it? Particularly with Gainsborough's home record, our struggles at the back for team selection. I mean,
putting them into context, yeah, obviously Paul will be furnishing us with facts soon. I recall us having a 1-0 on it a few years ago. I mean, Jerome Wright got the goal.
2-1 wasn't the way to score the
winner. 2-1 win to go the win, and we've lost one or two. So it's a mixed bag when we come here. But I mean, it's a proper football ground. It's historical. We know that Newneath have played here in the past, so there's history here. So there's no reason why we can't come and play.
And the pitch is glorious, by the way, considering.
It looks good, considering some of the ones we play. But there must be something about Lancashire at the minute that we come here and we're in a force 10 gale. But this little run now we've got, I mean, we've got today, then Warrington, then Scarborough, then Matlock, all the next. These four matches are. They could well. I mean, we say it quite often. And probably Neil probably won't agree, but they could define the season because...
Well, Neil's trying to keep the gidiometer gauge down a bit.
Well, there's a lot of clubs with a lot of games still to play. They've played less than us, and, you know, South Shields can play themselves into a proper bit of form. You'd expect them to...
Well, just as, I think Buxton are picking up again,
Buxton
aren't they?
Potentially picking up again, you know, so...
I mean, to take one game at a time, this game today at North Home, Gainsborough's home form, like you said, not lost that many games this year... To get anything out of this game would be...
I'm looking, they've signed, they brought two or three players in this week as well, which seems to be always be the way when FC hovers into view. I'm not going to say that. Yeah, we like cliches on the FC radio. There's no easy game, but there isn't. Even against the bottom sides, you can very easily struggle in this league and lose. Very, very... And we have done. Grantham at home for being the perfect example.
Well, Woodso, we've got to go before these turnstiles open and we get... The charge happens and we're in the way. But we'll speak to you at half-time and enjoy the game.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us and welcome to North Home. It's freezing, it's raining, the pitch is lovely. Big challenge today. How are we looking?
I need someone to look back on my career record, because I'm not sure if I've ever been here. I don't think I have, you know, as manager or as player. You know, and I've turned up and it reminds me of Barrow, you know, a little bit. I know the colours are the same, but kind of the way the stands are situated.
And the weather.
And the weather, yeah, and the weather. You know, not like the 7-0 drubbing we got on the way, and it didn't stop from beginning to end. But no, we've arrived here today and we're in really good spirits. You know, we know that we're taking on a Gainsborough side that have made a few changes over the last couple of weeks. They've brought in loan players, they've brought in youth and energy. We're not sure what's happened behind the scenes, but, you know, it's been well documented that they're taking a change of direction. They're fighting at the bottom end of the league and they want to stay up. I think they're in 17th on 32 points, 5 points clear of the drop zone. They'll be looking in there to kind of stop our role that we're on at the minute. And we're excited by the challenge, you know, and we've been presented two problems in the last 48 hours, with Curtis Jones dropping out with a hamstring and Andy Hall through food poisoning. But it gives opportunities for like Michael Potts to come back in and get minutes, and Jonathan Smith will drop back into centre-half. Ali Warrica will go into full-back like he did at Matlock away. So we're strong, we're fast, we're exciting, and I'm hopeful, you know, come quarter five we can get the result that we need.
Now, Gainsborough Trinity might be towards the bottom end of the table, but if it was just home record alone, they'd be above us, wouldn't they? They're incredible this season at North Home. What's the difference between the way they play at home and the way they play away?
It's, you know, they've lost one at home all season, and you can see, obviously, there's going to be a footballing side. The pitch is conducive for good football. Whether or not, you know, there's been constraints with people travelling away from home, or is it just that factor of sometimes it's psychological, we can help pick the points up. But they've been formidable here, you know, and they'll fancy anyone to play. They've seen the record that they don't get beat here apart from one team. So we're going to have our work cut out. We're reminded that of the lads today. They're going to have to be on their A game. They're going to have to come under a little bit of pressure and withstand that. But I think going forward, you know, we're as quick and as good as anything. You look at Adam Dodd in the fullback area, Wadica in front of that, you know, the likes of Donoghue, Griffiths, Ennis, Galloway and Linney. You know, there's pace to burn and there's tricks everywhere. So I'm really excited about today's game.
Well, good afternoon everybody, and welcome to North Home, the home of Gainsborough Trinity, and this afternoon the home of FC United against Gainsborough Trinity in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And joining me for a little pre-match chat 16 minutes or so before kickoff, Stato Paul's with us. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, Paul, this, before we get to this particular game, just a thought for that game on Tuesday night. When you look back at the highlights, Lancaster, really, they only had one chance. That was from a corner in the first half. Apart from that, FC United were really worth the 1-0 win.
Yeah, I think that for the first stages of the game, Lancaster were physical and uncompromising, and we struggled a bit. I think by the time we got into the second half, we'd kind of got a grip on it, and I think we dominated most of the second half, and we were the ones that were creating the chances. Possibly the loss of Andy Teague was a factor in the game, the way it panned out.
Coming to Gainsborough this afternoon, FC United have been forced into making changes before the match in their defensive line. No Curtis Jones, no Andy Halls. Andy Halls had such a good game on Tuesday night. I thought he was brilliant. Big losses for this game here at Gainsborough.
I think this is the nature of the fixture list, isn't it? That we've played so many Saturday Tuesdays, inevitably it's going to bite at some time, and today we've got a depleted side, but I think we've still got enough quality to come here and win the game.
So going in the back line, we believe it's going to be Smith and Morris, Wadica playing right back, Dodd playing left back. I don't know about Jonathan Smith playing centre back, but he's tall, he's good with the ball, he's played right back. So
I think he's filled in briefly in that position in a game, but he's not been tested for 90 minutes, so it's a difficult one. But you know, he's the kind of player that will step in and willingly take on a job, won't he?
Like Wadika, who's playing right back. We've seen Wadika play right back before. So
they'll do their best, I'm sure.
We're right back in this playoff race now. A four-goal swing away from the playoffs and Warrington Town. 5 points from second spot. It all depends on the next four games, really, what happens next.
Yeah, we've got a very difficult, obviously we've got today, and then we've got Warrington on Tuesday. It's going to be a tough ask for the injured and the wounded to get ready for that one. But, I think all the teams above us for the last couple of months have dropped points. If you look at the last ten games, we're top of the form table. We've dropped 9 points in 10 games. Everybody else has dropped more points. And I think that's going to continue.
Now, speaking of form guides, you'd be forgiven for thinking today SC United are taking on a team who, you know, are just hovering above the relegation battle at the moment. However, Gainsborough Trinity are weird because their home form is right up there with the best in the league.
In terms of not losing, yes. I think they've won 6 and drawn 7, lost 1. Nobody's lost fewer home games, so they've obviously found visitors here have found it difficult to force the win. But on the other side of the coin, they're the joint lowest goal scorers in the division.
I was about to say, I mean, we're talking about our defence.
It's dangerous to say.
I know it's dangerous to say, but we have to set the scene. Gainsborough scored the least goals in the league. Grantham scored more goals than Gainsborough have this season.
Atherton Coles are level.
Whisper that round here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's like that's been their Achilles heel all season, scoring goals. So let's hope this afternoon that continues. It's a tough one to call, isn't it? Because if we had a full-strength side out this afternoon, I'd be very, very confident.
But you think because of the changes that are being made?
I think it's a great leveller.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that.
And possibly the conditions as well. It's raining still quite steadily. It's going to rain all game, and the wind is quite strong, very much like Grantham was. So, you know, it's going to be a tough scrap, I think, again this afternoon.
It is a busy period coming up. Tough games. This one here, Gainsborough, very difficult to beat at North Elm.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Warrington, a huge game. Next Saturday, Scarborough Athletic away from home. And then we finish the month against Matlock at Broadhurst.
Yeah, I'm sure Renault will want a lot more of his wounded players back for Scarborough, definitely, because that's going to be a really tough game.
Well, so's Warrington.
Well, I mean, we can scrape through a home game, but away at Scarborough is very, very difficult, I think.
Well, it all starts this afternoon, this difficult end of February that we've got coming up here at FC United, not helped by the injury news heading into this game of losing two defenders, but the forward line looked pretty good. And if we attack the way we did against Lancaster City and press in midfield like we did on Tuesday night, that'll relieve some of the pressure on the back line, do you feel?
Yeah, we need the away game attitude that we showed at Buxton and maybe half a game at Grantham, where we were resolute and we stood up to everything and came out on the other side.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on the other games taking place this afternoon. Three teams all tied on 49 points. Warrington Town in fifth, FC United in sixth, Bamber Bridge in seventh, Whitby Town a point back on 48. A win this afternoon and results go in a certain way, FC United could go up to fourth, but a lot needs to happen. Scarborough Athletic travelling to Lancaster City, and the teams are now coming out onto the pitch. We'll keep an eye on them scores as the afternoon progresses, but it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team. This is FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Gainsborough Trinity against FC United of Manchester here live at North Elm, and it's Stato Paul. But first, here's James Quinn.
McCalmer has advantages played. McCalmer on the other end of the field. And now Draper. Draper just couldn't quite take it, so he's been driven wide here by the corner flag. Draper plays it infield. Nice ball. And comes across, and it's a goal. And it was a cross there by Keane and finished by Hui. And 1-0 Gainsborough Trinity there. Well, the, shall we say, makeshift defence of FC undone there. And well, it was two possibilities there. Could have got a foot on that one, but FC conceding. And as with Grantham a couple of weeks ago, they have a little hill to climb. Well, Morris under pressure, losing possession. Keane with a shot. Leverkamp, another chance for Draper. It's 2-0 on the rebound. And Neil Reynolds puts his arms outstretched. And FC now trailing by 2-0. In real trouble. Possession was lost. And the shot, a fine save there from Lavica, but he just couldn't get enough on it to parry it away to safety. And ball goes in on the rebound from Draper. And Gainsborough Trinity 2, FC United 0. We've played 24 minutes. Linney, left-hand side, bringing it infield into the box from the left-hand side. Linney, using his skills here, taking it to the byline. Slips his man, in it comes, but it's Bishop, well, possession now. Dodd just can't get out from under his feet. Now it's Griffiths into the box. Griffiths out to the left-hand side. Linney tries a shot. Oh, what a goal from Linney from the left-hand side. First touch into the corner, and that is exactly what FC United required as they halved the deficit here. And that as a result of 5 minutes or so, Paul, where FC have started to put it together.
I think they've started passing the ball a bit better than before, and for the first time Gainsborough are beginning to look edgy on the around their edge of their own penalty area. And that was a fine strike, and FC have got a foot in the door again.
Linney with two worldies in two games.
So FC United, Ennis will take this free kick. Wouldn't it be a dream for FC if on the stroke of half time they could level things up here? And it comes, nice looking delivery, it's nodded on. Oh, it is the chop. It was Linney there again, and he nodded it. It just went over the bar onto the top of the netting there. Dodd now out left hand side. Linney waits. There's two in the box as Linney twists and turns, that familiar jinking run of his, plays it across. Griffiths just outside the box, out to the right hand side. Donoghue waits. Donoghue drives to the byline, cross comes in, and it's in there, and it's a fantastic save. It really is. It was a fine header there from Ennis, and you have to give credit there to Yates. And all of a sudden, substitutes on it, thought he might have been offside. Long ball, real danger now. Wallison, 3-1. And could that be curtains for FC? It's certainly curtains for 3 points. FC completely, it's done at the back there. The ball came across, substitutes combining, and cross from Brad Grayson. Wallerton was there, unmarked, taps it in. And Gainsborough Trinity now, 3-1 in front. Long ball forward, Waddick waiting. Now Duckworth on the edge of the box. But that was given as a fair tackle there. Potts. Now it's a Morris. Morris chips it in. Linney waits, lets it go there to Galloway. Galloway. Galloway by the byline. Galloway chips over. It will be a corner ball left-hand side. Well, there was Duckworth was brought down there. Player got some of the ball, and that was enough to satisfy the referee. No penalty.
Some of the ball and all of the player.
Well, FC desperate to carve this deficit now as the minutes tick by. Griffiths, cross comes in, but well defended again by Bishop. On the turn is Waddicker, but he can't get control of that, and it goes over the bar for a goal kick for Gainsborough.
When we watch the highlights back, that was nailed on penalty.
Yeah,
not being biased.
Morris, Duckworth on there. Waddicker fights it well. He's got out to his right. Now Linney with a chance. He scores. Yeah. It's 3-2. And Galloway picks it up. 7 minutes to go. FC pull one back. 3-2.
That was a very astute ball in from Waddicker for Linney.
Really
and,
was.
And Linney is absolutely on fire at the moment.
He really is. Can FC scramble an unlikely point from this game? And it's all over. Well, it's 3-2. I'm going to give credit to Gainsborough Trinity in that last period. They held on really determinedly. FC, well, fought to the bitter end. But really, in the end, those defensive absentees, meaning FC paying the price there. Very important for FC to bounce back in 72 hours. Great result for Gainsborough. And FC, well, Paul, surely it's one of those where FC's luck with injuries ran out.
Well,
the North Holm has proved a graveyard for a number of clubs this season. You can see why they've only lost once at home. I just think the third goal, the soft third goal that they conceded in the second half, made it a bridge too far. But a brave effort for FC at the end. They really did throw everything at them.
We look back at some of the missed opportunities that we've had, but you can't take away the fact that Gainsborough defended so, so well.
They had something to hang on to, I think. That was the key. And they were determined enough to just about hang on and get themselves over the line. The points are absolutely critical for them as well as for us, I remember. So it's a very important result for Gainsborough this afternoon. Luckily for FC, possibly things aren't as bad as they could have been.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained and all that. Warrington have been beaten by Hyde United. Bamber Bridge have also been beaten. Whitby drew. So there's now four teams all tied on 49 points, including FC United, all tied with Warrington in that final playoff spot. It has been a good afternoon, though, for the likes of Scarborough. They've won 2-0. Buxton have won 3-1 and South Shields have won 2-1. So there's now a gap opened up between that top bit of the playoffs and everyone else now. The gap between Scarborough in fourth and Warrington in fifth is now 6 points. Warrington do have 2 games in hand over Scarborough, and FC do have a game in hand over Scarborough as well. And of course, it's a big couple of games coming up now for FC United. Warrington on Tuesday, Scarborough next Saturday.
There's just a worry that injuries might derail FC in the coming games.
Yeah, well, we hope that maybe Halls might be back.
It's a question we go back at to half-time, Paul, and we were... Obviously, the injuries have played a part today, but I did feel that we were... And Woodrow, agreed with this at half-time. We were slightly unbalanced at the back. We had Smith and Wadika on the right-hand side of the defence. And we didn't get into the game really until we made that change where we put Donoghue at right back, pushed Wadika forward and swapped Morris with Smith. So Smith was the left-hand side of the centre-back double act.
It's just a pity that Linney was outstanding this afternoon and one or two others were outstanding. And all that hard work didn't result in any points.
Yeah, I mean, the defence, I mean, two of them was already unmarked tap-ins, weren't they? Which is... the sort of thing that's not been happening recently.
And we're going to be joined by Neil now, who's discovering where we are. Yes. He's never been to this ground before.
Well, they never want to come back, I think, after today.
It is a fantastic non-league ground, this. Yeah, we've said nice. It before. Lots of heritage.
With a great name, of course. Great old...
And I think Woodrow was right in saying that Newton Heath have played here in the past. So anyway, enough of our chatting. Let's welcome Neil Reynolds to the commentary position now.
Neil, thanks for joining us. Was that just a thing of the injuries catching up with the side?
Yeah, it was, to be fair. You know, you take out your defensive partnership in Jones and Halls, who have been magnificent, and allow Morris to go at full-back and Dodden. It weakens us, and you can see first couple of goals, we could do better. But I thought we were excellent, on the balance of play. I'm not going to call the lads. I thought we pulled it at 2-1. We dropped deep on the third goal and probably we reanalyse it. We should be a lot higher. Then we get another goal from Regan and you just think that goal's going to come at the end. But, we've been on this fantastic run. We're not playing bad football. You can see with the crowd at the end of the game. The Whitby game that we lost, we played good football, but conceded poor goals. Today we played good football and we've conceded poor goals. So we've just got to hope that... our defensive partnership can return Tuesday night and build on that.
What's the key period in the game? Either side of half-time, because FC were really dominant and they were very deep in the beginning of the second half. And there was a brilliant save from Yates, nodded down.
I think as anyone who's 6 yards out, James, and you've got a whole goal to it, you want to score, and Chaz will say that. But that was just... It wasn't the turning point because we were brilliant before the half and then we were brilliant after the half, and like the manager said, we've got a really good side, and we have. Luckily, some results have gone for us today. It hasn't changed a great deal. Listening to the non-league show in midweek, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns before the end of the season, and this, for us, is a twist and a turn.
On here, we have to give credit to the Trinity defence, who were really resolute in the last 10 minutes and mopped up the ball after ball. Did you feel that it was... it was pretty heroic from them, or did you want more options?
No, I thought they were excellent. I thought Gainsborough defended superbly well. You know, they've set them up. They know that they're going to come under a lot of pressure from when, you know, against an FC United side. But credit where credit's due. You know, they've beaten us. They've scored more than us. And we haven't scored as many as them. And sometimes you've got to concede that. I'm not disappointed where we played. I'm not making excuses that Halls and Jones are at home. But, you know, it does hurt us when we've got a small squad. And we just hope that we can get them back for Tuesday night.
And tough place to come, Gainsborough, despite their position, have only lost once here this season, and you can kind of see why. Possible penalty on Duckworth?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a penalty. I don't just think we huffed and puffed. I thought we had some good quality. We had some, you know, we got into good areas. You know, we were brave. We went to three at the back for the last 20 minutes, and we had a real go with them. And I thought when Regan scored, you know, with 8 minutes left, we were going to do it, but it wasn't to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly not going to be down now. We've got three humongous games now, you know, in front of us with Warrington at home and Scarborough and then Matlock. And I think if we come out of them in a good shape, the season's still very much alive.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to James following that 3-2 defeat against Gainsborough Trinity. Next up for the Reds will be that big game with Warrington Town on Tuesday evening. Kick-off at Broadhurst Park will be at 7:45 p.m. Admission is pay on the gate, £12 for adults, £7 concessions, £3 under 18s with under 5s free with a paying adult. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air from 7:30 p.m. online at www.fc-radio.co.uk and on your radios on North Manchester 106.6 FM. This match will also be streamed live and you can purchase your £5 streaming pass via the club's official website. That's at www.fc-utd.co.uk. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.